This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, August 10th, 2018, coming up this hour.
Turkey's lira plunges again amid worsening diplomatic relations with the U.S.
Fears of a Turkey contagion has stocks falling around the world.
Investors in the U.S. await another key report on inflation.
And Tesla shares rise on a report the company's board plans to meet about going private.
Lawyers for President Trump say two questions are off limits to special counsel Mueller for an interview. Plus, the battle against the wildfires in California continues. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, the Yankees increase their lead in the wild card. An impressive showing for Saquon Barkley, but the Giants come up short.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower while European shares are declining the most in a week. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 16 points. Dow futures down 128. NASDAQ futures down 48. The DAX in Germany is down 1.7%. CAC in Paris down 1.3%. The FTSE 100 down 0.7%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1.3%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 2.89%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.63%. NYMEX crude oil, little change at $66.78 a barrel. That's down 3 cents. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $2.30 at $12.1760 an ounce. The euro, $1.1461 and the yen, 110.95. Bob.
We begin with the continuing plunge in the lira. It's trading at another record low this morning. Let's get the very latest live from Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Matt Miller in London. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Bob. Yeah, the Turkish lira plunging at one point to an all-time low of 6.3 to the dollar. That's a drop of 14%. It's currently trading, if it closed here, still at an all-time low, 5.939. And analysts surveyed by Bloomberg say the Turkish lira will continue its declines unless one of two things are done. Either the central bank raises rates, which President Erdogan has been opposed to, or Turkey sets capital controls in place, stopping outflows of the local currency. Also something the president is likely to oppose. As a result of the drop, we see assets across Europe falling steeply on concern about a contagion. For example, we had the Financial Times reporting that the ECB is concerned that a number of banks are too exposed to Turkey. Those banks include BNP Paribas, BBVA in Spain, and UniCredit in Italy. BNP Paribas, for example, is down almost 4% right now. BBVA is down 4.2% right now. And we have the Italian FTSE MIB down 1.8%, the German DAX down 1.7%. Matt Miller, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
All right, Matt, thank you. This as the Turkish currency's worst weekly slide since the 2008 financial crisis, and there's concern the rout in the lira will spread. We spoke earlier to Jane Foley, head of FX strategy at Rabobank.
Contagion is certainly a watchword this morning, and some of that comes from press reports that the ECB is getting concerned that some European banks are going to be open to losses on the back of the plunge in the Turkish lira. And so that's seen pressure on these European bank stocks. That's affected, of course, the indices as a whole. And, of course, the whole outlook is worsened by the fact that the market does not yet see an end to this.
And investors are awaiting the first public address from President Erdogan since the sell-off. He's scheduled to speak in about an hour from now.
In the UK, gross domestic product rose 0.4% between April and June. That was in line with the median forecast in a Bloomberg survey. In June alone, output gained just 0.1%, its weakest performance since March. While manufacturing and construction posted reasonable gains, services output was entirely unchanged.
In Asia, capital investment drove a strong rebound in Japan's economy in the second quarter. Gross domestic product rose at an annual rate of 1.9%, beating estimates.
And in the U.S., we've got the consumer price index coming up soon. And here in the U.S., the key reading on inflation comes out at 8:30 this morning, Wall Street time. Gina Spilak covers the economy for Bloomberg News.
The CPI number is expected to be fairly strong. You know, 2.9% basically matches last month, but it's strong relative to what the year has looked like overall. And I think that's relevant when you think about how the Fed's core inflation index is looking. CPI is really important as a pass-through to PCE, the Fed's preferred gauge. And so I think Fed watchers are going to be carefully parsing this data to see what it says about those essential PCE numbers.
And how does this play out for the rest of the year?
For the remainder of the year, it's going to be really interesting to watch whether these figures today are sustainable. So a lot of careful inflation watching shops, including SocGen, are saying that these numbers could moderate, and that could mean this overall trend is a little bit unsustainable. So I think the Fed is going to be watching that really closely to see if these figures hold up as we get into the back half.
Bloomberg News reporter Gina Smilek. That report, again, due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Full coverage right here on Bloomberg Radio.
And we continue to follow Tesla shares this morning. Yesterday's decline erased Elon Musk's tweet-fueled rally. For the very latest, we bring in Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. CNBC reported that Tesla's directors met financial advisors next week and are likely to tell Chairman Elon Musk to recuse himself while they consider his proposal to take the company private. A special independent committee will need to review the proposal, and the board, according to this report, has told Musk he'll need his own separate advisors. Musk thrust his fellow directors into an unprecedented situation by tweeting Tuesday he was considering taking Tesla private at $420 a share with funding secured. The three-sentence statement that six board members issued the next day failed to address major questions, including how the deal would be funded and in what way it could be structured. Shares this morning up 2.2% in the pre-market at $360 a share. Karen.
All right, thank you, John. And futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 15 points. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. The Art of the Deal with Mr. Mueller. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest on that and more. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Donald Trump's lawyers continue negotiating with special counsel Robert Mueller over a presidential interview. They say at least two topics remain off the table, the firing of FBI Director James Comey and Trump's comments to Comey about his investigation of Michael Flynn. Meanwhile, the so-called Manhattan Madam, Kirsten Davis, is expected to appear before Mueller's grand jury today. Firefighters are battling a wildfire threatening thousands of homes in the foothills south of Los Angeles that authorities say was intentionally set. Authorities have charged a local resident with deliberately setting the holy fire. Meanwhile, the huge Mendocino complex fire continues to burn. Senator Kamala Harris of California visited an evacuation center in Lake County.
When these fires hit, it's part of the nature of this profession of firefighters that they engage in mutual aid, and wherever they need to go, they go.
California is fighting 12 wildfires right now. California Congressman Eric Swalwell is blasting new audio of House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes, suggesting that the Republican Party needs to retain control of the House to protect President Trump from special counsel Robert Mueller. Swalwell sits on the panel.
What I heard on that tape is exactly what I saw behind closed doors with the witnesses that Devin Nunes was unwilling to call, the subpoenas he was unwilling to issue for the records, and all of the efforts that he made to do everything he could to act as Donald Trump's fixer in Congress. But now the American people can judge for themselves because they've now heard it for themselves.
A spokesman for Nunes downplayed the comments in a statement to CNN, saying it's unsurprising to see the left-wing media spin Chairman Nunes's routine observations as some nefarious plot. President Trump hosted state leaders in Bedminster, New Jersey, for a roundtable discussion on prison reform. Trump took note of the especially violent weekend in Chicago.
That's bad stuff happening, and probably, I guess you have to take from the leadership. This is called bad leadership.
Trump says he's planning on implementing vocational training programs to create job opportunities for federal prison inmates. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now, 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. The Yankees made quick work of the Rangers at the stadium.
Line to deep left, and it's gone. It is far. It is gone. What a bullet. What a bullet. A high line drive over the auxiliary scoreboard, over the grandstand, and into the bleachers. You can't hit the ball harder than that. A Stantonian home run.
Yankees radio, Giancarlo Stanton continued his tear and is picking up the slack left by the injured Aaron Judge on the home run front. Number 28 for Stanton. He wasn't alone. Miguel Andujar, Aaron Hicks, and Neil Walker all homered. Walker went yard twice as New York crushed Texas 7-3 for their fourth win in a row. They increased their lead and the wild card to 4.5 over the A's and remain 7-up on Seattle. Tonight, it's Masahiro Tanaka facing Mike Minor. The Mets are in Miami. Zach Wheeler gets the call to open the weekend set. NFL preseason got underway for most clubs Thursday. It was the start of back-to-back nights at MetLife Stadium as the much-anticipated debut of the Giants' Saquon Barkley was unveiled. He scampered 39 yards on his first carry, finished with 43 yards on four attempts, but the Giants fell 20-10 to the Browns. Number one overall, Baker Mayfield, the quarterback, threw two touchdowns for Cleveland. Jets are in action tonight. They host Atlanta. In PGA Championship, golf's final major from St. Louis finds Gary Woodland, the round one leader, at minus six, a stroke ahead of Ricky Fowler. Tiger Woods is even par. Bloomberg Radio serves as home for PGA play-by-play beginning at 4:15. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Buschka. Please join us tonight for Bloomberg Business of Sports. He's one of the most accomplished executives in all of sports, leading groups that have owned the L.A. Kings, Toronto Maple Leafs, and Toronto Raptors. We speak with Oakview Group co-founder Tim Leiwicki tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or download our Apple podcast on iTunes. S&P futures this morning down 15 points, 0.5%. This is Bloomberg. The sports updates brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check at the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Turkey's meltdown infected global markets. U.S. stock futures, European shares, the 10-year Treasury yield, the euro and oil fell as the dollar rose and the lira tumbled. U.S. headline inflation probably stayed at 2.9% for a second month in July, with core CPI sticking at 2.3%. Bloomberg Economics said that should be consistent with the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, the core PCE deflator. The IEA said crude supply fears abated after Russia, Kuwait and the UAE pumped more in July, but warned the calm may prove fleeting as Venezuela and Iran produce less while demand rises. People familiar told Bloomberg the White House expects to persuade countries to cut Iranian oil imports by as much as 1 million barrels a day when it reimposes energy sanctions in early November. That's a cut of 50%. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Hannah George, thank you. S&P futures are down 14 points this morning. Dow futures down 111. NASDAQ futures down 44. The DAX in Germany is down 1.7%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32nds, yield 2.89%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.63%. NYMEX crude oil, little change at $66.78 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2%, down $2.60 to $12.1730 an ounce. The euro, $1.1469, the yen 110.99, and the Turkish lira at 5.9236 per dollar. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, prosecutors have shown jurors an email they say suggests Paul Manafort was intentionally deceiving a bank by describing a New York City property as owner-occupied instead of a rental.
The email came up during the eighth day of Manafort's financial fraud trial. Vice President Mike Pence says President Trump wants Congress to allocate $8 billion over the next 5 years for space security systems as it establishes a space force. In baseball, the Yankees won along with the Nationals, the Red Sox, Orioles, and Giants lost. In NFL preseason action, the Giants lost. The Patriots beat the Redskins, the Ravens, and the 49ers won. Tonight, the Jets host the Falcons. The Raiders host the Lions. Gary Woodland leads after round one of the PGA Championship at 6-under. You can hear coverage today starting at 4:15 p.m. on Bloomberg Radio. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:20 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. Turkey's meltdown infecting markets worldwide this morning and now takes 5.92 Turkish lira to buy $1. That is weak. The lira down 6.4% for the moment. So now what? Jane Foley is the head of FX strategy at Rabobank, and she joins us from London this morning. Hi, Jane. The word of the day earlier this week seemed to be idiosyncratic, at least in the FX markets. Now has it changed to contagion?
Yeah, I think you're quite right. That certainly is a watchword this morning, because we have seen now the Turkish issue affecting Europe. Now, this comes from a press report suggesting that the ECB is concerned that certain European banks are vulnerable to exposure in Turkey. So we've seen the impact on their stocks. We've seen that drag down at European bourses as well. And that's also had an impact on the euro. So suddenly this has become a euro factor too. So contagion is certainly the issue. And meanwhile, the market's getting pretty excited because we do have, in just later today, a plan, the new economy plan, due to be delivered by the finance minister. Now, the market would like to see tighter fiscal policy, but it's not sure that that's what they will get. Certainly earlier this morning, the President Erdogan sounded very defiant. So not an awful lot of hope just yet that the markets are going to see what they want to see from Turkish policy.
Yeah, in Mr. Erdogan's parallel universe, lower rates lead to inflation. He's probably the only one who believes that in economic circles. Do you expect anything from him today that could calm markets?
Well, I mean, you're quite right. That's a statement that really hit the markets hard a month or so ago when he was in London. And, of course, a few weeks ago, the market had expected the central bank to hike interest rates about 100 basis points to stem inflationary pressures, and it didn't. And, of course, that means that the independence of the central bank is really under question. And now the market's beginning to talk that the central bank, in order to regain its credibility, next month it really needs to hike interest rates between 5 or even 10%. Which seems unlikely unless Erdogan really wants to back down. And just yet, we're not seeing signs that that's what he wants to do.
Are there the reserves there depleted?
Well, you know, given the extent of the currency move, there is talk now that capital controls might be a last-ditch option for the central bank. And, of course, that is only, or for the government. Now, that is only making matters worse in terms of the price of the Turkish lira, because those rumors are doing the rounds, people still in the Turkish lira want to get out before those controls are implemented. Now, that's the speculation. We just don't know what they can do, but certainly, it seems that there's going to be very little ammunition left, given the move that we've seen in the Turkish lira, really, over the last few months.
And as far as the contagion, I don't know if it rises to the level of contagion here in the U.S., but certainly the dollar soaring, the Treasury yield sliding. You know, the Trump administration wanted a weaker dollar. The Fed wants inflation. This is just the delivering just the opposite results. Are you a little more concerned maybe about the ECB, which is at this point still trying to get out of accommodative policy? And this really seems to throw a monkey wrench into that.
Well, you know, if the euro does soften, then that should bring a little bit of inflation into the eurozone economy, which is probably going to be welcome at this point. Inflation in the eurozone has been very sticky and very weak. But, of course, in the U.S., that stronger dollar will keep inflation down. It's doing some of the work for the Federal Reserve for it, if you like. But, of course, this is a topic, the Turkish lira topic. We've also got the ruble under pressure. That's, of course, on the back of more sanctions from the U.S. And on top of that, we have these concerns about trade wars and the higher cost of dollar funding. Now, all of these stories are bad for EM risk. And if markets or investors aren't going into EM, they've been pulling out this year and pushing back into the U.S. dollar. And this is a primary reason why the U.S. dollar is so firm.
Okay, Jane Foley, head of FX strategy, senior currency analyst at Rabobank, joining us from London this morning. As always, Jane, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Again, just check the lira, 5.91 lira to buy $1. That is down 6.2%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brought to you by National Realty, developers of Prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach Real Estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The Turkish lira hit a fresh record low amid a souring of diplomatic relations with the U.S. That has the euro trading at a one-year low and stocks falling around the world amid concern Turkey's problems are spilling over.
Banks and miners in Europe are falling after the Financial Times reported that the ECB was concerned about the Turkish exposure of some lenders. President Erdogan is set to speak in about 30 minutes for the first time since the latest sell-off began.
Economists say U.S. consumer prices probably edged higher in July, rising 0.2%. The government will issue the data at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, and Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
Bloomberg Economics says data issued at the start of the year overstated the underlying pace of inflation. More recent figures suggest things are a bit more stable. In June, for example, the Consumer Price Index rose just 0.1%, the weakest showing since March. Moreover, data released Thursday showed the Producer Price Index for July was unchanged, the tamest showing since the start of this year. The Fed is watching. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
In the U.K., gross domestic product increased 0.4% between April and June. That was in line with the median forecast in a Bloomberg survey. In June alone, output gained just 0.1%, its weakest performance since March.
In Asia, capital investment drove a strong rebound in Japan's economy in the second quarter. Gross domestic product rose at an annual rate of 1.9%, beating estimates.
A bruising week for oil has set prices on course for the longest weekly losing streak in 3 years, as a trade war between the U.S. and China stokes fears it could sap energy demand. Futures heading for a 2.6% loss this week. Right now, West Texas Intermediate is trading virtually unchanged at $66.83 a barrel. Brent crude is up 0.1% at $72.17 a barrel. And it is now 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for your volatility index report. The VIX rose for the first time in six sessions, closing at 11.27. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is still on the rise, currently up to 12.02. And that's this morning's volatility report.
And S&P futures are down 12 points this morning. Dow futures down 98. NASDAQ futures down 41. The DAX in Germany's down 1.6%. 10-year Treasury up 8/30 seconds. Yield 2.89%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.63%. NYMEX crude oil, again, little change at $66.83 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.60 to $12.18.30 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thank you very much. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. Some things the president doesn't want to talk about. Bloomberg's Michael Barr has that and more now. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. President Trump's lawyers are telling special counsel Robert Mueller questions on the firing of FBI Director James Comey and comments to Comey about his investigation of Michael Flynn are off limits. Trump's lawyers are negotiating with Mueller over a presidential interview. Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani says if asked, the president would tell Mueller that he didn't urge Comey to stop investigating Flynn, his former national security advisor, and didn't fire Comey to cut off his investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 campaign. Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach is promising to stand back and keep out of the ballot counting from Tuesday's Republican primary after his opponent, Governor Jeff Collier, complained. Kobach says two counties have reported vote tally discrepancies.
We do this the old school way, and most states do it the old school way, to avoid putting things uploading to an internet site which could be hacked. So you are literally communicating vote tallies by phone, and people are typing them in. And there will be keystroke errors all the time. In fact, this is one of more than a dozen errors that we've already discovered, and that's why they're called unofficial results on election night.
Kobach has only a tiny lead over the governor. White nationalists planned a rally in Washington, D.C. this weekend. Sunday's rally is exactly 1 year after Susan Breaux's daughter, Heather Heyer, was killed when a man plowed his car into a crowd of counter-protesters at a white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. Breaux says she has been leading a fight against hate groups since then.
I'm curious as to how Washington will receive them after seeing how they behaved in Charlottesville last year. I think people will be a little more wary and cautious of them now as far as not putting up with nonsense.
Breaux plans to lay a wreath at the location where her daughter died Sunday. Vice President Mike Pence was at the Pentagon to unveil the military's plan for a sixth branch of the U.S. military.
The time has come to establish the United States Space Force.
The blueprint follows President Trump's announcement in June that he was directing the Defense Department to undertake the mission. First Lady Melania Trump's parents became U.S. citizens yesterday. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, sir. It is now 6:35 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning, Rob Bushka.
Morning, Bob. The Yankees keep rolling 7-3, pounding the Rangers in the Bronx as they hit five home runs, including number 28 for Giancarlo Stanton. Skipper Aaron Boone.
Knowing what this organization has been, and from a power standpoint especially, that's a pretty impressive feat, and maybe hopefully we'll get some more in there.
Neil Walker hit two. Miguel Andujar and Aaron Hicks also homered for New York, who increased their lead in the wild card to 4.5 over the A's. They're still seven games up on Seattle. Jay Happ moved to 2-0 as a Yankee, fanning 9-6 solid innings. Series continues tonight as Masahiro Tanaka climbs the hill for the Yankees. The Mets are in South Beach. They play the Marlins over the weekend. Zach Wheeler gets the start tonight for New York. NFL preseason slate kicked off a busy weekend at MetLife as Saquon Barkley busted loose on his first carry as a pro, 39 yards for the Giants.
You're just so locked in the moment and you're just living in the moment that you really don't even notice what's going on in your head. But the offensive line did a great job with blocking up front, creating space. Evan made an unbelievable block there, and I was able to get a field and create space and get a big game.
Barkley finished with 43 yards on four carries. Giants were doubled up 20-10 by Cleveland. Jets host Matt Ryan and the Falcons tonight. In golf's final major, the PGA Championship finds Gary Woodland atop the board at -6, a stroke ahead of Ricky Fowler. Tigers even par. Bloomberg Radio's your home for PGA Championship play-by-play beginning at 4:15. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Bushka. It is now 6:37. On Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Americans with bachelor's degrees stand to make $1 million more in their careers than those with just high school diplomas. Meanwhile, the sticker prices of colleges and loan default rates have soared, and only 60% of enrollees earn a degree within 6 years. It's never been more important for students and their families to choose the right school. A minor outbreak of cooperation in Congress could soon make this a little easier. The College Scorecard already offers some data on admissions, costs, aid, student demographics, and, perhaps most important, graduation rates and median earnings. But Congress long ago banned a larger federal database of disaggregated student information. As a result, the federal government cannot gather comprehensive data. The new proposals would overturn the ban and allow the government to release new metrics on post-graduation jobs and earnings, and graduation rates. This is an area where greater transparency is long overdue. Students can't afford to be uneducated about higher education. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. We're coming close to what you could call the global climate conference season, with several major events on the horizon. Nancy Lyons is in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Three climate conferences are on the schedule for September prior to an international negotiation taking place in Poland this December. They're all focusing on finalizing details on implementing the Paris Agreement. And Bloomberg Environment's Bobby McGill says they're also waiting for a UN report.
It's expected to describe what the Earth will look like with 1.5 degrees of warming, what some of the risks are, what it's probably going to take to prevent global warming from exceeding that level.
Some countries are expected to boost their ambition for greater emissions cuts. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. It is now 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Four named storms have already formed so far in 2018 across the Atlantic, and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is forecasting a total of 9 to 13 during the six-month hurricane season that ends November 30th. Out of that number, 4 to 7 could become hurricanes, with only one or perhaps even none becoming a major system with winds of 111 miles per hour or more. The outlook is actually improved from an initial forecast in May, when federal weather watchers predicted as many as 16 systems of tropical storm strength or greater. Those systems have formed so far this year, have either been small, weak, or far from land. That's largely due to cooler water across much of the Atlantic and dry air from Africa. Forecasters are watching the Pacific, too. If an El Nino forms by next month, it could increase wind shear across the Atlantic, making it even harder for storms to take root. The U.S. Climate Prediction Center said there is a 51% chance an El Nino could be underway from August to October. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures down 12 points. This is Bloomberg. Coming up, Bloomberg Morning Call brought to you by Columbia Bank, with 48 locations across New Jersey. You're never far from their wide range of banking solutions, from personal to business banking, mobile and online. You can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are falling. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure amid a plunge in the Turkish lira. And reports the ECB is concerned about exposure of European lenders to Turkey. Dow futures currently down 98 points. S&P's dropped 12. And NASDAQ futures declined by 39. The U.S. 10-year yield drops to 2.9%. And the Nikkei dropped 1.3% overnight. Well, European markets are also under pressure, led by 1.5% losses in Germany and Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, the Consumer Price Index, and at 2 o'clock, the monthly budget statement. After the bell last night, Dropbox beat estimates, and overstock soars 15% in the pre-market on a private equity investment. In deal news, UnitedHealth is said to be among the suitors in the second round of bids for Athena Health. And in other news, Tesla is higher pre-market after a CNBC report that the board is planning to meet with advisors next week. Wrapping things up, over at Goldman Sachs, AMD was upgraded to neutral. Intel was downgraded to sell. Campbell Soup cuts underweight at JP Morgan. And Dropbox upgraded to outperform over at RBC. Live from the First Rebecca News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thank you, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a federal appeals court has ordered the Environmental Protection Agency to stop sales of a widely used pesticide within 60 days. According to the ruling, the Trump administration endangered public health by keeping chlorpyrifos on the market, despite extensive scientific evidence that exposure could harm babies' brains. Player demonstrations took place during the national anthem at several NFL preseason games last night. As for the game finals, the Giants lost. The Patriots beat the Redskins. The Ravens and the 49ers won. Tonight, the Jets host the Falcons. The Raiders host the Lions. In baseball, the Yankees won along with the Nationals. The Red Sox, Orioles, and Giants lost. Gary Woodland leads after round one of the PGA Championship at 6-under. You can hear coverage today starting at 4:15 p.m. on Bloomberg Radio. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, what's the secret to a bigger paycheck? According to a study from the University of Copenhagen, conscientious men earn on average an extra $567,000 in their lifetimes. According to Bloomberg Opinion, extroverted men get nearly as much. The effect for women is smaller in part because of restricted opportunities. Bob, one thing that hurts pay, according to the study, being agreeable.
You see that? Don't be a yes man.
I don't know about that. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump's lawyers are continuing to negotiate with Robert Mueller on the terms of an interview with the president, and they've made it known that questions on the firing of FBI Director James Comey and Trump's comments to Comey about his investigation of Michael Flynn are off limits. A federal judge has ordered U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions and Secretary of Homeland Security Kirstjen Nielsen to personally appear before him if the government fails to return a mother and her daughter who were deported to El Salvador. And a story that Michael Avenatti, the lawyer for Stephanie Clifford, the adult film star better known as Stormy Daniels, has told the Des Moines Register that he's exploring a run for the presidency of the United States. Let's explore these stories now with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Good morning. So let's start with these negotiations that are underway. You might call it the art of the deal with Mr. Mueller.
Yeah, it's been very interesting to watch this play out this week. Rudy Giuliani has been talking quite a lot as he's, has become his custom really since he's joined Trump's legal team. He's been talking very publicly about the ongoing kind of negotiations with Robert Mueller about a potential interview, with Donald Trump. And I think it's worth noting that he's being very specific now about two specific things that he's saying are clearly off the table in terms of the discussion about surrounding firing Comey and the discussion with Comey about his Michael Flynn investigation. I think the fact that Giuliani is talking very publicly about wanting those to be off the table shows how strongly the Trump legal team is committed to making sure that Trump doesn't get himself in trouble talking to Mueller about those topics. Trump is not a very precise speaker, and so I think the concern on his lawyer's behalf has been that he would potentially trip himself up if he gets interrogated by Mueller on those topics.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong about this, but aren't those very questions ones that would be near the top of the special counsel's list?
Absolutely. And so this is, in a way, is Giuliani kind of playing hardball with Mueller through the press, because, you know, we know from documents that have been leaked that these are, in fact, questions that are at the core of what Robert Mueller wants to find out from the president. And so I think that Giuliani basically ruling them out in a public forum is his way of kind of putting the ball back in Mueller's court in terms of trying to come to some sort of an agreement.
And in terms of the question of why he fired Comey, for example, he's been really all over the map on that question, the president, in terms of whether it was because he was trying to hold up the Russian investigation or some other reason.
Exactly. And that's really why this is so potentially fraught for Trump in terms of talking to Mueller about it, is because he has been all over the map. And I think that it will become a very different equation when he speaks to Mueller under oath, because he will be providing, you know, legal testimony that could get him into trouble in terms of perjury if he says something that conflicts with what Robert Mueller himself, through his own investigation, kind of knows to be true. And so I think that's the real concern on Giuliani's part and Trump's other lawyers' part.
So the Attorney General and the Homeland Security Secretary are facing a potentially very mad judge.
Yeah. So basically, this is an issue of the Trump administration's practice of trying to deport people as quickly as possible, bumping up against the power of the judicial branch, where basically this judge in Washington was considering an asylum petition from a mother and child. And while that was under consideration, the Trump administration went ahead and sent them back, went ahead and deported them. And essentially, when the judge took kind of the extraordinary step of saying that he was going to hold, you know, two cabinet secretaries personally accountable and haul them into his courtroom to, you know, give them a piece of his mind about that, that seemed to get the wheels turning, and they basically turned the plane around.
Okay, very quickly here, pardon me for asking if this is really serious, but Stormy Daniels' lawyer says he's exploring a U.S. presidential run.
Yeah, apparently it's serious and or it's for real. And I think that but the bigger picture is here from my perspective is that basically Trump has been saying all along that this investigation is a political witch hunt. And Stormy Daniels' lawyer announcing that he's considering a presidential run really kind of could potentially play into that narrative. It doesn't necessarily help the folks that are trying to say that all of these legal troubles that Trump is facing don't have a political motive.
Okay. Our thanks to Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, and you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. It is now coming up on 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. A special election in Ohio, where Republicans barely kept a U.S. House seat they've held since 1983, highlights some features of the fall campaign to come. First, Democrats are enthusiastic about voting this year. A president's opponents are usually more motivated than his supporters to vote in midterm elections, and President Trump has probably given his opponents more motivation than usual. Second, those voters who switched from Mitt Romney in 2012 to Hillary Clinton in 2016 seem to be sticking with Democrats. The Democrats have a chance to add other voters to this new coalition. Some of the voters who first went for Barack Obama and then for Trump might respond to Democrats on economic issues. Third, the strong economy and the tax cut aren't generating any enthusiasm for Republican candidates. A message of cultural grievance might work better for them than one of economic satisfaction. Which side is successful in determining what the elections are about will help decide who wins them. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker. John.
Good morning, Karen. And I bet, Karen, if you look far enough back into your freezer, you might find an old frozen veggie burger from years ago. It'll look like a hockey puck and probably taste like one, too. But the hamburger of the future may be here. Wildtype is a San Francisco-based cellular agriculture company. This little startup pledges to make delicious, accessible, and affordable meat and fish, starting with cultured salmon and trout. The company says it's also designing a production process that could reduce the risk of foodborne illnesses. The co-founders, Justin Kolbeck and Ari Alfenbein, say the future of cultured meat will depend on whether it tastes as good as the real thing, is convenient, and has the right price. To create something that satisfies the taste test, this tech-savvy small company decided you have to use components of real meat or fish. Their products are made out of cells cultivated in a bioreactor. The food of the future, Karen. That is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thank you. And to be honest, I do like a good veggie burger, though. I have to admit that. All right, John, thank you. Checking stocks this morning. Analyst moves are moving the stocks this morning. Advanced Micro Devices among one of the most active in the S&P 500. It was upgraded to neutral from sell at Goldman Sachs. And its shares are up 2.1% in early trading. Intel downgraded to sell from neutral at Goldman. It's falling down 2.3%. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio for our listeners in Washington, D.C. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.